regular school is hard because everything, especially at the high school level, is your reading to learn.
Yep.
The learning to read happens kind of in elementary.
Yep.
To learn is an expectation at the high school. And so when you take away that barrier for our students who struggle with the literacy piece of it and give them practical applications, not only is it something that they can excel in, but it develops and builds their confidence. And
yeah.
They may have experienced years of feeling not as good as their peers. And now they can have an experience where they're not just as good, but they may be better and may and really helps build the self-worth. And what I've seen in my 27 years in education is that once we find that thing that gives children a sense of value, it can really change their trajectory for their future.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Glenda Butterfield Boldig. She is the superintendent and director of special education at Bowler School District in Bowler, Wisconsin. Glenda, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being asked.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your role and what's going on in your district.
Great. Thank you for again for having me. This is my fourth year in this role at the Bowler School District. My 27th year overall in education. Funny story is I actually started my teaching career in Bowler 27
years. No kidding. Well,
And just felt a great connection to this community. It's such a great place. So Bowler is located in Northeast Wisconsin, about an hour west of Green Bay. Our district is put in the Bowler district, some of our townships, but 50% of our student population also comes from the Stockbridge-Muncie tribal community.
Ah, okay.
So that's what makes us unique in that we serve, about 300 students pre-K-12, and about 150 of those come from our tribal community. So we really enjoy that great partnership. You found great support from our tribal partners. There's a tribal education department there that you meet with regularly to give us ideas and suggestions on how to improve access for all children on an inclusive environment. Bowler's actually been listed as a historically diverse school district for even assisting FIN in operation. So I think there's five in the state that have been given that label. So we're really proud of that.
Awesome. And you've got some really cool stuff going on at your school, so let's hear about it.
Yeah, so 3 years ago, we started the process of adding a $3 million addition onto our district, and we were fortunate to be able to do that within our revenue limits. So unlike many of our districts across the state, we have to go to a referendum to even do operational referendums to keep their buildings open. We were able to do that within our revenue limits, take out the money, borrow the money to expand our particular agriculture department and our CTE area, our career technical education department. One of those programs that we are super proud of there in Bowler is our Super Mileage Vehicle program. So it's a program that actually is across the country. So it's not just unique to Wisconsin or even Northeast Wisconsin, but it's run by the Challenge USA. And one of the best things is creating super mileage vehicles, but they also have electric vehicle categories. We haven't participated in those. Ours is about making our best miles per gallon combustion engines and designing cars that allow a single individual to ride in a car that is powered by a combustion engine and get the best mileage possible. So we compete in three competitions a year. The Road America, which is at Elkhart Lake. So if anybody out there is kind of a race fan, they know Road America. And we also did, this year we did the Audubon in Joliet, Illinois, and then Fox Valley Technical College. So they all have racetracks. Our program is designed for students in grades 11 and 12. We have a couple of 10th graders in there, but they really need like a small engines class or welding class to be able to participate actively in the super mileage. Really starts with concept design all the way through production. This year, we took first place.
Oh, congratulations!
We actually held the record for a number of years in our region of 765 miles per gallon.
Per gallon?
Gallon. So we held that record the belt on the moon 5 or 6 years. The Kimberly School District, which is a much bigger school district, it's down in the valley over by, you know, Appleton. They beat us this year. They had one car that was at 880 miles per gallon this year, but we had one that had topped 800. So,
how big are these cars?
They're actually very small. So really a gang is lined to fit one student in.
Okay.
And so there are lots of rules and regulations about it, but it has to be fully enclosed. It
okay.
has to pass inspection to make sure that it's safe.
Okay.
Well, around a track. So, you have to be able to complete 2 to 4 laps, depending on the length of the laps, in a certain amount of time. So,
oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's not a race per se. It's not.
No.
So it's not about how fast you can complete that. It's really about being able to complete the course within a specified amount of time. There's a minimum amount of time and a maximum amount of time. And being able to do that, and then they have, they actually weigh the gasoline that's in the tank. So there's a movable tank. They weigh it ahead of time. They weigh it at the end of the course. And then they can estimate how many they can,
okay.
Per gallon of gas it was, because they know how long the track is.
So it's affected by the weather then as well. If it's an outside track, you want a good day. Nice.
Yeah. From the wet, like the wetness of the track to the wind, to all of that, because they're not heavy vehicles.
No.
Right. Because obviously you want to be able to increase that miles per gallon. You have to have it, you know, being aerodynamic and as light as possible.
Yeah. So I'm pretty proud of my little Mini Cooper that gets 36 miles to the gallon.
Yes. You know, if you did that, it would probably take you, you know, 2 days to get to work. But
then,
you have a little bit of gas mileage during that. I think the thing that we're most proud of here, you know, that we've been doing it for about 15 years. So our current instructor kind of brought it to us. So again, not every school has the ability to participate in this because, you know, you need instructors with certain skill sets.
Yeah. That's engineering and and innovation and all those things.
Yeah. And when it first started, it was like an after-school club.
You know? Oh, okay.
And so there were a lot of students, you know, talking to my instructor who were happy to do it. Again, being a small school, the students who did the super mileage vehicles are also the ones who are in sports, who also had after-school jobs, who also do all of the other things. Mm-hmm. And so the club would meet at like 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night, go till 8 o'clock at night. Sometimes he said he was kicking kids out by midnight. Like, seriously, we have to go home.
Wow.
Yeah. Engaging. It's so intense. And so especially for those students who maybe don't engage in what somebody would consider a typical school setting, you know, math and social studies and English and all of that, they get to actually engage with the problem. They get to engage with the project. And they really get to do what interests them, and they get to feel successful when they maybe not feel successful in what would be considered a typical, you know, educational setting.
Yeah, I've talked to some schools and some leaders who've done project-based education, and that's what you're talking about. Exactly.
Yeah, you apply all of the things, where it's the mathematical problems, trying to figure things out, whether it's the design, whether it's the materials you use to make sure that they still meet all of the safety requirements, yet make it aerodynamic and lightweight. You know, if you read about that problem in a math book, I don't know how many then all of you all would be engaged loud enough. It's the end of that story problem.
No, definitely not. I insisted as a senior in high school to drop calculus. I was done with math at that point. And it's not, and now I'm 40 years out of high school, so this was 41 years ago, right? But I remember this was when we had driver's ed, you know, driver's ed classes, and we got through everything until they got to the last chapters of the book, and it was all mechanics, and it was about the engines, and I went, my eyes crossed, and I was like, oh, thank God you're not testing me on this stuff.
If I would have had to learn that, I still wouldn't be driving.
No, I'm not. And he was like, well, this is extra, but it will be really interesting for you guys to learn. And I was like, oh, no, it is not. not for me. I'm not mechanical. I'm not my husband. He's like, you have to really see it, don't you? Like when we built our first house, I actually went to a model home to see what they were. I couldn't look at plans. I had no idea when they were talking about plans, what they were talking about. So this is a skill. It's a really neat kind of thing that the boys are. Is it mostly boys? I shouldn't be sexist like that. Listen to my implicit bias going on right there. Jeepers creepers.
Well, I'm actually glad you brought that up. I was going to say, you know, it is the majority of our participants are young men. However, our instructor is working very hard to make sure that we're engaging and inspiring young women to do this as well. And one of the things that was actually shared with me, you know, is that by my instructors here, so I don't want to speak globally, but here at Bowling, my instructors have shared with me that the girls that we have in the class are much better welders than a lot of our boys, and they feel like it's an attention to detail. Again, not to overgeneralize, but that's what I've been told about our students here.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
So having some of our female students participate in this, again, it's very, it's definitely not representative of our district as a whole. We're about a 50-50 boys and girls, and it's definitely much less than probably even 10% of our students in the program. But what is something that's inclusive is, you know, our district has about a 20% special education incidence, and it's very representative of so even students who have who are identified as having disabilities, who may struggle in, like I said before, a typical educational setting, can excel in this. And so that's me.
And that's incredible. I'm project based learning teams seems to be something that, and not every child. Please don't be a mom and go back to your school and tell them that they have to do project based learning because your child has special needs. That's not the reality of all kids. We certainly are not making a generalization there, but there is definitely some kids that will thrive in that kind of an environment in special education because you're taking all of the tough things and making it real world applicable. So,
absolutely, and you know, and also again, not to overgeneralize, but you know, some of our students with specifically like reading or literacy disabilities and those types of things. Regular school is hard because everything, especially at the high school level, is your reading to learn.
Yep.
The learning to read happens kind of in elementary.
Yep.
To learn is an expectation at the high school. And so when you take away that barrier for our students who struggle with the literacy piece of it and give them practical applications, not only is it something that they can excel in, but it develops and builds their confidence. And also, they may have experienced years of feeling not as good as their peers. And now they can have an experience where they're not just as good, but they may be better. And it really helps build the self-worth. And what I've seen in my 27 years in education is that once we find that thing that gives children a sense of value, it can really change their trajectory for their future. And that's what this program
That sounds fantastic. I'm thrilled for your team and for what they're doing. That you have to tell them congratulations from me because boy, that's really awesome. And those are skills that they're going to take into adulthood. It's not just this is a really cool thing that we did in high school. No, it's something that will translate into, and it looks really good on a resume, I'm sure too.
And very transferable skills, you know, like you said, from building the combustion engines to doing the problem solving, all of those things that, they can take with them. It's not just like this one thing. The other thing that it has done is developed a really great, healthy, competitive spirit. So, I mentioned the Kimberly School District. So if anybody from Kimberly's listening, it's not, it's not where God in for you, but we are inspired to try to get our record back from you.
Right.
You prepare for some stiff competition next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Our church, so funny, talking about spirited competition. I go to The Net, which is Pastor Glenn Holland is our pastor, and he's amazing. He's an amazing guy. But we do a lot of things with the local pregnancy center here, and they have a diaper drive every year. One of the members of the church works for the pregnancy center. I volunteer there and several other people do. But they have a diaper drive between Mother's Day and Father's Day, and they have a plaque, right? They have a plaque. Now, we're not a huge church. There's like 120 people, maybe. And there are churches in Corpus that have thousands of people, right? And for the last 2 years, this plaque has hung in our church because we brought in the most diapers, right? And so he's up there and he's like, our goal for this 120 people church is 50,000 diapers. And we are at 35,000 diapers the last time I checked. And that is so cool. It's incredible. Yeah. But I'm like, man, I was like, Pastor Glenn, you're almost coveting. You're about coveting that plaque. But he doesn't want to lose it to somebody else. You know, he's like, I know we can do this. We got it. We did 30 some last year. And then this year he set a goal for 50. And everybody has stepped up and is buying diapers. Now, if you buy smaller ones, the ones and the twos, you know, you get more diapers than if you buy fives and sixes. But it's still, it's super, and what a great cause, you know, if we can support women who choose life and have their babies and give them diapers so that they can, it's just a beautiful thing. So, and we're in a state where, you know, abortion has been illegal. So we want to support people, you know, and I don't want to get political on that either, but it's just really fun. You know, the competition piece of it was the point of all of that. And I didn't mean to digress into all of that, but it's really, really fun to be involved in something where you can have really great competition and know that you're doing something really great for your student, right?
Well, but, you know, to connect to, and again, I don't think it's political, because I think also from a public education standpoint, our goal is to support and make sure everyone can be successful. So yeah. Along the lines of what you're saying, is supporting those individuals who, you know, have chosen life and you want to make sure that they start off on a good foot. That's what education is, especially public education. One of our main purposes, the reason we exist, is to make sure that every child has an opportunity to be successful and find their success in life, whatever that looks like, whether it's post-secondary education, whether it's service in the military, whether it's going into the workforce, whatever success is for them, that's the promise.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what we as educators do. We want to give them that opportunity to be their best person. And yeah. And the world fights us on it sometimes, doesn't it?
So I think there maybe is a misunderstanding of what we're intending to do. I don't think that there could be a more altruistic purpose than making sure that when students come to me as 4-year-olds or 3-year-olds, that after the 15 years that I get to have them and help them and guide them and mentor them, is that they are well on their way to a path to a happy life.
Like, right.
That's all we need.
It's the best. That's the best. And we do that. We do that. We don't, we have to celebrate our wins. You have to celebrate the wins. They matter. They really matter. So, well, Glenda, great job. Great conversation. Fun to hear about what you guys are doing. That is so cool. When are we going to be able to have these engines in our cars?
Yeah.
I'd love to only have to buy a, I mean, I don't, like I said, my Mini is tiny. It only has 11 gallon tank, you know, so, and it's a lightweight little car and it's a convertible. So, you know, it's just a fun little car to drive. I tell people, it's like, I don't need a mom van anymore. My kids are all grown. So I traded the mom van into it for a cute little Mini, and it's a foreign car. So, you know, it's like, but I learned about the cost of foreign cars when I got that, but it's super fun and it gets really great gas mileage. And I'm like, something to be said for little cars, right? My husband has a great big F-150 with an extended cab, or the crew cab and the extended bed. And that thing is, we're lucky if it gets, I think, 11 miles to the gallon.
It does. But I tell you, you know, like it's hard to haul a piece of plywood in it.
It is. Oh, yeah. I have to put the top down at the grocery store to get the groceries in the back, because it's a two-door, you know. It's like people are like, it's not really a great day to be in a convertible. Why are you, you know, I'm sure people are thinking, why is she putting her top down? And I'm like, so I can put my groceries in my backseat. But I love it. It's fun. It's fun to drive, and, you know, I'm having a good time with it. So anyway, okay. So where can people go to talk and learn? Oh, did you have more? I'm sorry. I didn't.
Well, I was just going to say thanks again for inviting me.
Yes, absolutely. Where do people go if they want to learn a little bit more about Bowler and what's going on there?
So we have our school district website, It's bowler.k12.wy.us, or you can Google the Bowler School District in Wisconsin, and you'll be able to check out our webpage. We try to keep it updated with all the great activities that are happening. Today was our last day with staff for the summer. Students' last day was yesterday, so we'll have some pictures, you know, showing up of those end of the year things and celebrations that we've done. So come visit our website. You'll be able to find my contact information on there. If you'd like to reach out to me, I'm always happy to talk about education and inspirational things. So
awesome. So today is June 4th, but we know that it's probably going to take us a couple of months to get this out because we've got so many. But even if it's the beginning of the, we're probably looking into August before we'll see this. But I always tell people, if you're listening, we were talking about the end of school year because that's what when it was the end of the school year, even though you're probably hearing this in August. So, but it's been a real pleasure, Glenda. And I applaud you. I applaud your staff and your kids. Great job.
Thank you.